Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Fireball Hot Take Friday. 1 hour, well, less than an hour, until the Floyd Reese special, Floyd Reese, a true titan, a Ring of Honor special, beginning at 5 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Later this hour, we have messages from the Reese family to the fans. That the Reese, Floyd's boys, Floyd's daughter, Floyd's daughter-in-law sent me messages that they would like read out to the fans. And so we will have that. We will have six-pack picks earlier in the hour. But it will be an emotional day and apparently a rainy day on Sunday as the Titans take on the Texans. So I wanted to do this in to pay honor to Floyd and Jeff Fisher. I wanted to rank the best Titan teams that they ran and where this team fits in with the good old days. Because every time you talk about the Steve McNair, Eddie George Titans, I mean, you talk to somebody that was a Titan fan then, and their eyes just like glow. They just light up. Just like whatever. Then we're going to take some phone calls later this hour as well. If you've got something you'd like to say as we honor Floyd before he goes into the Ring of Honor, we'd like that to be done as well. But let's rank the best Titan teams and where this team fits in. We start at number one.
Number one.
2013-3, they lost in the divisional round to the Ravens. The Titans had the number one defense in the NFL. I went back and looked up that Raven playoff game. Did you know the Titans blocked two punts in that game and still lost? How do you block two punts in a game and lose?
That's honestly kind of impressive.
Al Del Greco missed four field goals. One was negated by an offsides penalty. He missed a 50-yarder, came in, missed from 45, missed from 31, got one block that was returned for a touchdown. And Al Del Greco never kicked again in the NFL. And so when we talk about making mistakes and having a bad day, that's what we're talking about. Because the Titans dominated the Ravens. They'd have spanked the Raiders. They'd have beaten the Giants, who they already beat by 14 earlier in the year. That's the best Titan team. And as I told somebody today, the number one heartbreak of my fandom was that loss. Not the Super Bowl. Not the Braves up 2-0 in 96 against the Yankees. Not Vanderbilt in 2007 when Jeff Green traveled. Not the Predators losing it to Winnipeg. That. Because that was the Titans one, and they just simply screwed it up by having a bad day at the wrong time.
Number two.
Now, this is the controversial one. I went 2002, 11-5 AFC Championship game, which means I have them ahead of the 99 Super Bowl team. I just think that that team was better. Steve McNair was more developed as a quarterback. In 2002, he finished third in the MVP voting. The Titans had a bye as one of the top teams in the conference. They started off 1-4, but they only lost one game the rest of the way, and they ended up losing to the Raiders in the AFC title game in Oakland. John Simon fumbled a kickoff before halftime. The Raiders scored a touchdown, and that was the end of that. And again, that's why don't fumble the ball. And apparently I was told that Floyd cracked his 99 AFC Championship ring because he was so angry in disgust during the 2002 AFC Championship game. But I think that's the second best team they had.
Number three.
The 1999 AFC Championship team. That team was awesome. And boy, were they fun to root for. I mean, they were fun to root for. They just played defensively. They were just mean and nasty. Every game they lost was a fluke, including the Super Bowl that year, where they didn't play very well in the first half. They lose the Super Bowl by a yard. It was an unmitigated heartbreak. But that team, you talk about starting a franchise, that is what you want when you start a franchise. A likable team, superstar players, great team, competing for a Super Bowl, Music City Miracle. I think they're the third best Titans team.
Number four.
The 2003 Titans, Steve McNair won MVP. Eddie George was no longer a big-time player at that point. He was still a starter and a good leader, and the defense was still good. At this point, Albert Haynesworth and Keith Bullock had taken into starring roles, but Javon Kearse was never the same after that foot injury, which is why I have this team below that team. Now, an interesting element. This is the best passing team the Titans have had until 2020. Bill Belichick told Floyd, they played a playoff game in Foxborough. It was like minus 20 wind chill. Bill Belichick told Floyd that he believes had the Titans won that game, which I think they lost by a field goal, Drew Bennett dropped the ball at the end of the game on a fourth down. Steve McNair getting blitzed, fires it in the air, and Drew Bennett drops it. And Bill Belichick told Floyd, that was the toughest team we played that year. And they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And that was the end of the era, but the 12-4 team in 2003.
Number five.
The 2021 Tennessee Titans. I'm putting this Titans team at five. They have an elite running back. They have a decent enough passing game. So it's kind of like the 99 team and the 2000 team, not like the 2002 or the 2003 or the 2020 team with the passing game. But the defense is really good. Special teams are really good. The script is yet to be written, obviously, for the 2021 team. But I have them at five. So I have them better than the Vrabel teams so far. But I still, and again, they lose in the first round of the playoffs, probably change your tune a little bit. But right now, I have them as the fifth best Titans team and the best Titans team outside of the Floyd Reese era.
Number six.
9-7, 2019. Only because they got to the AFC Championship game and because four of their losses came with Mariota at quarterback. Had Ryan Tannehill started that entire season, that's not a 9-7 team. In fact, it's probably more like a 12-4 team. They ended up in the AFC title game. They beat the Chiefs that year. They beat the Patriots in the playoffs. They beat the Ravens in the playoffs. That was a darn good team. They were solid on defense. Could have used a little help, but solid on defense. Electric once Tannehill became the quarterback. They had the rushing champion in Derrick Henry. Their special teams were god-awful in 2019. But I have them as the sixth best team. And equally as tough as the 2000s Titans, as far as how hard they played the game. I really do look back. I love that 2019 Titan team.
Number seven.
13-3 in 2008. That team was red hot starting off 10-0, and around Thanksgiving, they nosedived. They lost to the Jets to go 10-1. They got Albert Haynesworth hurt. Now, they had a great win over the Steelers to clinch home field around Christmas. But they just were never the same team. They peaked too early. They peaked in early October, early November. They were never, and I wasn't surprised when they lost to the Ravens in the playoffs. I was heartbroken, but I wasn't surprised. 2000, I was devastated because I was so shocked. So I go with 2008 as the seventh best team.
Number eight.
2020. Only because they had no defense. 11-5. The offense was electric. Tannehill was great. Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards. Goskowski made enough field goals. They were well coached. They were tough, but they had no defense. And I just cannot believe in a team that has no defense.
Number nine.
10-6, 2007, the third team from the AFC South to make it into the playoffs. They made it on the last day because Indianapolis sat everybody at halftime. And I was like, you sit everybody at halftime? Indianapolis sat everybody at halftime. Titans made the playoffs. The Titan defense that year was good. Unlike the 2020 team, they had no offense. Vince Young was the quarterback. Chris Johnson hadn't arrived. They were 10-6, made the playoffs, but got bounced by the Chargers in the first round.
Number 10.
The final one, the 9-7 team in 2017. Now, that team won a playoff game, which is amazing. That the 2000 Titans, the gold standard, didn't win a playoff game. This team did in Arrowhead against the Chiefs, Mike Mularkey's year. But, man, they were good enough to get to the dance, but they weren't pretty enough to dance in it. Patriots rolled on them. Mariota at quarterback in the playoffs. DeMarco Murray hurt. And yet somehow they found a way to beat Kansas City. That was a fun team. The fans were miserable that year, though. But that place has a special team in my heart, as do all of those. So, you know, the Floyd and Jeff team's kind of towards the top. But this team's got a shot. The 2021 team's got a shot to get up in there with those teams. Here's what I want to do. 615-737-1025. We'll have our six-pack picks later this hour. And then we'll have a message from the Reese family. So what I want to do is if you want to call in and talk about Floyd, this will be your segment to do so. 615-737-1025 as he goes into the Ring of Honor on Sunday. 615-737-1025. I love Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey because it goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There's no better way to celebrate than with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. And this week, we are celebrating. This weekend, we are celebrating the legacy of one of our great friends. And I know, because I've already celebrated legacies with that guy. I've already celebrated parties. I know that he would not be having a Fireball, but I know that me and Miss Sally would be throwing a couple back because we've celebrated before, and we've celebrated with Ice Cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It goes down so smooth, and it tastes so great. There is no better way to ignite the night than with a Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Again, ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5, The Game, Fireball, a Hot Take Friday. Again, coming up 5-7, Floyd Reese, a true Titan, honoring the legacy of Floyd as the Titans' former general manager as he gets inducted into the Ring of Honor at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. And we've got some of the biggest names in franchise history. Jerry Glanville explains how he got Floyd to leave Georgia Tech to join the NFL with Detroit, and it's a wild story. By the way, the name-dropping Jerry Glanville did, and I think we all know that Jerry Glanville knows a lot of people, but the name-dropping and like the – basically, there was one period in the Jerry Glanville interview where Jerry Glanville makes you think, and I'm sure Jerry Glanville probably thinks this, that the NFL is the way it is today because of Jerry Glanville. And there may be some truth to that.
That is so wild.
But the tribute is brought to you by Neighbors Nashville. Neighbors is the best sports and entertainment bar in Nashville, locations in Germantown, Sylvan Park, and coming soon to Franklin. Let's go to your phones on Floyd, 615-737-1025. Anything you want to say about the GM? Not so much talking about, you know, the GM that we knew on the show, but more so the teams. Because I feel like the Floyd that we knew, you know, that guy, we've celebrated him a lot already. This is about the GM. Because this is one of the highest honors you can receive in football. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keith on a Fireball Hot Take Friday on Floyd. Thank you for calling. Get us started, Keith.
Hey, guys. Jared, you was talking a while ago about listening to past shows that you and Floyd were on.
Sure.
And you hollering, you shouting at yourself to shut up so you could hear him finish his point. You don't know how many times I've done the same thing. I'd be screaming at the radio, Jared, shut up. Let him finish his point. But I don't, and I'm sure you remember this story. Y'all were in White House at the Sutton Service.
Yep, with the baby kangaroo.
Yeah, and that's the only time I ever met Floyd, and I love Floyd. I think he knows that. But those girls brought those kangaroos in, and I'll never forget they asked me, if I wanted to hold one, I said, well, hell no, I don't want to hold one. And I don't think Floyd wanted to either. But
oh,
I
no, Floyd. Keith, I appreciate your call. Floyd held the baby kangaroo like a baby. Like, I've got a picture of him, like, rocking a baby kangaroo. So then when I got to hold the baby kangaroo, I was kind of holding it like this, right? Like, I'm holding it, you know, here. And he goes, you don't have any nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean? He's like, that's not how you hold a baby. I'm like, you know, I don't know. And he literally held the baby kangaroo like a baby and rocked the baby kangaroo.
That's the cutest thing I've ever heard. You sent me a picture of Floyd just like with a kangaroo all snuggled up and he's looking at it like it is a newborn baby.
It's
the cutest thing
Floyd
I've ever
with
seen.
A baby kangaroo. By the way, Keith and Bowling Green, keep listening for later in the show. What we got on the text line?
Craig texts in and says, there was a time before that Patriot playoff game where you said that Tom Brady wasn't taking the defense seriously. You argued with the GM and he wasn't taking the bait at all. I even called to agree with you to see if he would, and no.
So I think what happened that day was Brady had a press conference in the like while we were on the air, and Brady couldn't name a single player on the Titans defense. And I was like, yeah, he doesn't respect the Titans defense. And Floyd, you know, playing devil's advocate. Titan Patriot Week was always the worst week for Floyd. Like, the worst week of doing radio with Floyd.
I mean, that's hard because he has allegiances in both
so
places.
So he's not going to throw anybody under any bus. And that's where, like, when they had Malcolm, when they signed Malcolm Butler, that was my favorite. Ian, do you remember when they signed Malcolm Butler?
I do.
And Malcolm Butler got benched in the Super Bowl. And there was no reason that got out for why Butler got benched in the Super Bowl. And then the Titans signed Butler. And so here's Floyd, who's like, great signing. And I'm like, well, if it's a great signing, then Belichick screwed up. You're going to tell me the greatest coach of all time didn't know what he was doing in the Super Bowl? Well, then if what Butler did was bad, then why are Robinson and Vrabel signing him if he's going to be a liability in the biggest moments? You don't think Robinson and Vrabel know what they're doing? Well, but I'm saying, like, if the guy's not good enough to play in New England at the Super Bowl, get benched, and Nick Foles throws for 800 yards and they won't put him in the game, obviously he did something wrong. And if he did something wrong, and Vrabel and Robinson don't think it's wrong, somebody, they both can't be right. And he contended that they were both right. And like, we thought about that every time. Because the Boston market is like a gossip market. So this was always coming out about, like, did Bill screw it up? What did Butler do? You know, with all that that was going on, every time a new Butler story came up, the same discussion got had. Every time. About whether or not. Now, and he could not, he would not pick a side.
It's like having to pick between your two kids.
What I did like was when they fired Mike Mularkey and we were talking about different coaches and Josh McDaniels came up and I said, okay, would you, do you think McDaniels would be a good coach? And he goes, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? You know the guy. You coach, you worked with the guy. And I'm like, you got to tell us something. And he goes, I'm not saying anything because if I say something, it's going to be on ESPN. You can say whatever you want. But if I say, because nobody cares, but if I say something, it's in that facility and I don't want to put that kind of pressure on them. And I remember as he was saying it thinking, good. Like, now the audience understands why you've gone all, you know,
he's
radio
in a tough position.
Silent on us. But
no
at least tell them why. Like, at least tell them why. And then, okay, so I was like, and I bet everybody in their cars heard that and thought, yep. Like, makes sense to me. I think everybody thought that. What's next?
Josh texts in and says, what I miss most is when Jared would say something and the GM would just do that laugh. I miss that the most.
I do wonder, and I mean this with all seriousness, and I almost kind of feel, like, bad about it. Maybe I should, maybe bad's not the right word. But I do kind of wonder, like, do you people miss, like, the GM, or do you guys miss the GM on the radio?
Like, the GM just laughing at you?
Right, like, the character, I mean, he wasn't a character, I mean, that's who we were. But, like, I mean, I miss the GM on the radio. And I think Floyd was a great general manager, and I thought that he shouldn't have, like, when I was a junior in high school, I remember being in our old house that I grew up in the kitchen with my dad saying, I don't like this idea of firing Floyd Reese.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 17. But I think, like, what I miss every day, I've broken down every day this week, like, multiple times. But what I miss is the guy on the radio. And I feel like the fans kind of miss the guy on the radio, too, which is kind of crazy.
It sounds like it.
But you know what always got me? And I don't mean any disrespect for Jeff Fisher with what I'm about to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jeff Fisher does belong in the Ring of Honor. Even though Jeff Fisher, you know, you make all the 8-8 jokes and everything else, and he was an unmitigated disaster with the Rams. Jeff Fisher did a lot of good for this franchise. You know, the teams that Floyd Reese had that were really good, Jeff Fisher coached them. The ones that people like me fell in love with, he was the coach. He belongs in the Ring of Honor. But when I was around football people, and Floyd was around, the football people, and you're going to see this tonight in the special, they valued Floyd's opinion. Like, they looked at Floyd as an equal. Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, Gary Danielson, Pete Carroll, they look at Floyd as a football equal. And when you see that as much as I saw that, I saw college coaches that were, like, essentially kissing the rings. And when you saw that, you realized that the way that the people inside of football felt compared to the way that people outside of football felt, two totally different things. The people inside of football looked at Floyd like, hey, that man knows the game. That man, he's this, he's that. I don't want to give something away in the special, but Jerry Glanville said something about Floyd that I'm probably going to say like every day for the next 5 years. Because I think it's so apropos. Let's get one more in here before we have to get to six-pack picks.
Shannon from Madison texts in and says, I remember when you guys were giving away Preds playoff tickets. Jared was drinking Fiji water, and you were making fun of the kind of water the GM was drinking, and I brought him one right after the segment.
So I do remember that. We were at an Academy Sports and Outdoors, and for some reason I had Fiji water, which is like
fancy.
The bougie bottled water.
Yeah,
right?
It's bougie.
Okay, so Floyd's drinking, like, you know, regular Kroger brand water, so I make some point about how I'm classier than him because I have Fiji water. And I have, like, a regular Fiji size. This guy comes out and brings, like, a, you know, like, a liter of Fiji water for Floyd. And I thought to myself, of all the crap people have brought us over the years, that is the number one thing that you could bring him. Water.
Really?
Anytime we go somewhere, like any remote we do, people come up, you guys good? You guys see that? You guys, it's like everywhere we go, you guys got water? That's all we need.
You have water. Like they wouldn't have it.
That's all we need. Just water. That's all we need. And I do remember that. In fact, I actually got a Fiji water the other day and thought of that story at that Academy Sports and Outdoors. By the way, those shows, when we were giving away Preds playoff tickets in 2018, like we've done remotes that are pretty popular. The Academy Sports and Outdoors were insane for those Preds playoff tickets. The only ones that were crazier than that. Anytime we went to Clarksville, if we went to Clarksville, there was like a line to wait to like take pictures during breaks. And I have no idea why they loved us so much in Clarksville. But as much as we hated driving out there, and we hated it, as much as we hated driving out there, we loved the reception we got in Clarksville. We were like rock stars out there. It's like, God bless you, Clarksville. We'll be back next year.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes, all right, walking off. Like, we go to these, like, gas stations out there in Clarksville, and there would be people lined up. And I was like, my goodness. There's a guy who's starting in the NFL right now whose dad came up, because he was in college at the time, and he's from Clarksville. And his dad came up to talk to Floyd about his chances of playing in the NFL. Crazy. Guy's a starter right now in the NFL. Coming up next, we'll make our picks this week, including the Titans game. And since I'm not picking in the pregame show, this is going to be where we pick the Titans-Texans game. Pretty good idea who I'm going to pick. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company. Plus, we have messages from the Reese family for all of you, which we will share. And then 5 o'clock, the Floyd Reese special right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell everybody, tomorrow night, 102.5 The Game, we'll have the Bud Light Preds watch party at Headquarters Beercade. There'll be great drink specials, and you can enter to win Preds tickets to an upcoming home game and watch the Preds and the Canadiens tomorrow night, Headquarters Beercade, 114 2nd Avenue South, downtown. Buck drops at 6 o'clock. Hang out with Caroline Fenton this Saturday morning, 10 a.m. on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. She previews the SEC football slate with Southeastern Carolines from 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. She'll give you her picks of the day and get you set before kickoff around the South. Time now for six-pack picks presented by Pella Windows and Doors. How did we do last week, Indian?
Caroline's still kind of struggling here.
Yep, classic.
Jared, last week, 4-2.
Uh-huh.
34-25-1 on the season.
I'm killing it.
You're killing it.
Caroline, 1-5 last week.
Not great.
21-38-1 on the season.
You stink.
I'm aware. I'm fully aware.
Let's get it rolling.
All right, our first game will begin at noon on CBS. The Colts traveling to Buffalo to take on the Bills. Over-under on this game, 49.5. Buffalo favored by a touchdown. Who's first, Jared?
I'll go first. I'm going to take the Bills. I think if you're a Titans fan, you got to root for the Colts. But I think the Colts kind of stink, and I can't stand their coach. I think the Bills are going to get back on the right track and still be a threat for the one seed in the AFC. I'll take Buffalo.
I do think that Buffalo is going to win this game, but I do think that the Colts keep it a little bit closer than we think. It may be, you know, Buffalo by a field goal. So I'll take Indianapolis plus the 7, but I think the Bills win.
Okay, continuing on CBS, 305. Bengals at the Raiders. Over-under on this game, 50.5. Cincy, -1.
Give me Cincinnati -1. I think that Cincinnati's made some serious statement wins so far this season, and they have the taste of what it feels like. And I think that they want another statement win this weekend, and I think that Joe Burrow gets it done -1 for me.
Okay, so I had to look to see who's calling this game. How are Ian Eagle and Charles Davis on this game? Who wants to watch this game?
I want to watch this game.
I'm going to take the I'll take the Raiders. Games in Vegas, and Raiders are the team you can never figure out. They played like crap Sunday night. I'll take the Raiders.
Okay, moving over to Fox. 325. Cardinals at the Seahawks. Over under 47.5. Arizona -2.5.
I will take Arizona. I think Kyler will play, although I think he's questionable. And
he
they
is
still
questionable.
Won't. I think Kyler will play. This could be a trap game, though, because Seattle, if they want to fight for their season, they're going to have to win, but I'll take Arizona.
I'm going to take Seattle because I believe DeAndre Hopkins is
out.
DeAndre Hopkins is ruled out. Kyler Murray is questionable. It's just too much that's up in the air for me, so I'm going to take Seattle.
Okay, continuing on Fox, 325. Cowboys at the Chiefs. Saw Amari Cooper is out, but the over-under on this game, 56.5. KC, -2.5.
I'm going to take Dallas on this one. I haven't seen enough good Kansas City this season for me to think that they've all of a sudden just turned things around, and I've seen plenty of good from the Cowboys. So I'm going to take the Cowboys to win this one, and I do think I'm going to take the over on that as well. I think it'll be a very high-scoring game.
I'll take the Cowboys. I have got to – like, I can totally see that Kansas City
for
has
sure.
gotten their groove back. And that Kansas City is a team that we've got to be worried about if they come in here to Nissan Stadium in a playoff game.
They're still the favorite to win the AFC West.
And they're not the team that stunk up the joint, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But you got to do more than beat Jordan Love. This is a prove it game to me. I'm going to take the Cowboys because I think we all know the Cowboys are pretty good. So prove it to me, Kansas City. I'll go Dallas.
This week's Sunday Night Football, 720 NBC, Steelers at the Chargers, excuse me, over under 47. Chargers favored by 6.
I'll take the Steelers. I think Steelers play defense. I think the Chargers make mistakes. I think there's going to be more Pittsburgh fans than Charger fans. I'll take the Steelers.
See, I think the Steelers are going to win, too. I think Najee Harris goes off because the Chargers have been giving up, what, like 30-something points the past few weeks. But I'm going to take the Chargers just to be different.
You know, you being different is why you're down like 40 games.
I don't need to hear you talk smack over there.
I'm just saying.
Just stuff it.
All right, that brings us to our final game of the week. Noon, CBS, Texans at Titans, over under pretty low, 44.5. Titans -10.
Titans -10. I mean, if we said it enough today, the Texans just are terrible. They have one of the worst rosters in the league, and I know that spread is huge, and I know that the Titans have so many injuries, but if they can't win by at least 10 points, then I think the Titans have way bigger problems on their hands there. And I think I'll probably take the under as well.
I think it's going to be an ugly game. I'm going to take the Texans. Titans okay. 13, Texans 10.
Ew.
Oh, it'll be ugly. It'll
Gross.
Be rainy. It'll be. But you know what? That is a Jeff Fisher, Floyd Reese game.
And that's okay. Just get a win.
Hey, 36-35 over the terrible Bengals. First game ever in that stadium. Titans ended up in the Super Bowl. I'm going to take the Titans 13-10 over the Texans. Six-pack picks brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. Coming up next, normally we end a Friday show on six-pack picks. Mm-hmm. I have messages from the Reese family that they would like us to share with all of you as Floyd gets inducted into the Titans Ring of Honor on Sunday. And we will do that next, leading into the special at 5 o'clock, honoring the GM, Floyd Reese. Let me tell you about Invigorate Health, online at invigoratehealth.com. They have semaglutide. That's right. What is semaglutide, you ask? It is the newly FDA-approved weight loss drug, and it is carried exclusively by my friends at Invigorate Health. I understand, because I have been overweight my entire life, I understand how a lot of people feel. We are in this society where it is blame the patient. Well, we don't blame the patient for anxiety. We don't blame the patient for blood pressure. We don't blame the patient. A lot of people that are obese don't want to be obese. Semaglutide is the breakthrough that the FDA has approved. I have talked to my friend who's an internist who says he's prescribed it for years to diabetics. I talked to my primary care doctor before I talked to you all about this drug. It is not some crazy, you know, get skinnies quickly. What? It's not one of those. But it is, as Men's Health Magazine says, perhaps the breakthrough in weight loss that can help you lose weight, but also help you not just lose weight, but more importantly, with some of the issues that come with weight loss. According to Men's Health Magazine, the bottom line is semaglutide can help people lose weight, improving weight-related health issues, and ideally gain more healthy years of life. If you have been trying to lose weight and you cannot, talk to my friends at Invigorate Health. InvigorateHealthTN.com. They are the exclusive providers of semaglutide. Get ahead of Thanksgiving. Get ahead of holiday parties. I am telling you, semaglutide. I have talked to everybody there's taken it at Invigorate Health, and I love the people there. And they all say it works. And so I've talked to doctors who say it's safe for me to endorse to you that semaglutide, give it a try at Invigorate Health, carried only there. InvigorateHealthTN.
I think the window is closed for Jeff Fisher on coaching in the NFL. I think that that ship has sailed. I think it's over. So at this point, I don't see why, you know, next season they wouldn't have a game where they put him in the Ring of Honor and a game where they put you in the Ring of Honor or something. And I do think, honestly, you guys should go in together.
How was the CMA Fest?
You really don't want to talk about this, do you?
No, I was just curious how the CMA Fest went.
We earned high marks yesterday for being the only, for, I shouldn't say the only show, for being a show that talks only about sports. And here
point.
We are talking about the lack of Floyd
Good
Reese,
point.
The injustice, the injustice that is Floyd Reese not in the Titans Ring of Honor that I saw at CMA Fest last night. And you want to talk about CMA Fest last night when I'm sure you know who the Rascal Flatts are.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, I'm not sure you would have known anybody who played last night.
Were the Rascal Flatts good?
They were good. They were good. I've always liked Rascal Flatts, so they were pretty good. But I'm not falling for your trap. So I wanted to start the show on that. I can't believe that that's what I wanted to start the show on today, because I didn't even put it down on the grid is what I wanted to start on. It just popped into my head last night, and I guess I'm starting the show off with the fact that I think you belong in the Titans Hall of Fame.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I really do.
He did not want to talk about it. Never wanted the spotlight to be about him. He goes in the Ring of Honor on Sunday. The Floyd Reese special, a true Titan, a Ring of Honor special in 8 minutes. If you're listening on the, if you're watching on the stream presented by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry, that will not be on the stream, but you can listen on the Game Nashville app, the TuneIn Radio app, 102.5, and we will have the podcast available for download where you find Stillman & Company, available at 7:05 tonight. So I have a couple messages from the Reese family that I would like to share, that I have been asked to share. And I will say this, I consider the Reese family a part of my family. You know, we have always been very close, even though we didn't see each other all the time. But I'd always hear stories about, you know, well, Sally said this yesterday, or it, really when Mary Kate said something, I mean, I heard about it as soon as it happened. You know, Ryan and Caleb and Trace, and, you know, the boys said this today, and the boys think this. And I could honestly go around the room and talk about each one of them as if I know them, you know, like the back of my hand. Because I have heard so many stories. So this comes from Katie Reese, Floyd's daughter-in-law. And she says, "To say that I am so proud that Floyd is getting inducted into the Ring of Honor is an understatement. He deserves recognition for all he accomplished with the Oilers and Titans. The football Floyd was just a small piece of him, and not any of the reasons I miss him so terribly. Floyd has been a part of my life since I was 16. That's 25 years. He is one of my most favorite people ever. The best beer drinking buddy, the best hug giver, the best at giving you the advice you need, not necessarily want." And I can second that. "He had the best laugh. He loved me like I was his kid, even though I am not. That's also true. He was the best friend, best dad, best husband. He loved his grandchildren fiercely. He was the baby whisperer for all three of my kids. He was their person. There are no words to express just how lucky we all felt to be a part of his world. When my husband asked all three of our kids for one word to describe their papa, they all separately said kind. And he was." So Sunday we will celebrate you. We will wish you were there with us, and we will try to carry on your legacy of kindness. So that was very sweet.
Very, very sweet.
And boy, I'll tell you this, the grandkids, I mean, they could have, see, they probably weren't smart enough to go up to him and say, Papa, can we have $1 million? Because if they did, they probably would have gotten it. Especially Mary Kate, you know, just the way that. This comes from Jeremy and Sean Reese. And I almost had Caroline read this, honestly. This is from the boys. When our dad was notified by Miss Amy Adams Strunk that he would be inducted into the Titans Ring of Honor, he was speechless. He had endured countless rounds of chemo, refusing to postpone or cancel infusions on account of his side effects and pain. He even tried to talk his ICU doctor into letting him get an infusion when he was in there, which was refused. He had lost nearly half of his body weight as well as his sure-footedness. He never once complained. Most of his final weeks were spent on the couch or in bed, which is not the proper place for someone like Floyd Reese. Amen. Still, when we asked him if he would show up to thank the franchise and the fans for being inducted, without hesitation, he emphatically agreed. He knew you all would see what happened to his body and health. He couldn't hide it. He knew he would need to request accommodations to get to midfield from the same people that had seen him run 10 miles a day for decades. He didn't care. This was important to him. This was special. We would like to thank Jared, Ryan, and the team at 102.5, but we'd also like to thank Tyron in Brentwood, Robert in Nashville, Adam in Portland, Freddie, Keith in Bowling Green, Sturgill, and all the fans that called, listened, and continued to listen every day. We want to thank Titans fans everywhere for the kindness they have shown our family over the past few months. We were comforted tremendously seeing how much this town loved our dad. Believe it or not, what made you all love him was barely the tip of the iceberg. Our dad was honorable, principled, and benevolent. He was a good man to the core, and we will continue to work to be more like him every day. The Floyd Reese special is next.